It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it as always. Later on, we're going to talk about the coaching hot seat. Also, our first look at a projection for the CFP. Give you my top 10 as far as that goes. We're also going to look at the old coaching hot seat. And there are some big names that are on this list. That is absolutely true. And we're going to talk about Urban Meyer and how much of an idiot he is. And how I'm obviously in the wrong line of work. And we'll talk about other couple of things here too. So all kinds of stuff on the Rundown. But first, we have to start on Tuesday here in Columbia. The first big press conference with the first looks at Tennessee for South Carolina. Coach Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks make their way up to Knoxville this weekend as they return to SEC play after a win in non-conference play over Troy. And Coach Beamer had the following comments about Tennessee.
Going to Knoxville this weekend, going back to a place where I have great memories of, a proud graduate of their sport management program, led by Buck Jones at the time and Dr. Rob Harden, who is still there, I think, running their sport management program. So I have a master's degree from Tennessee and great memories there from my time working for Philip Fulmer as a graduate assistant and working for John Chavis when he was the defensive coordinator, working for Coach Adkins when he was on the staff and I was a graduate assistant working with sat and had a really good experience there. I learned a lot of football from Coach Fulmer in my time and made a lot of great friends. I was thinking about it the other day. It's pretty neat just thinking back all the people that were in that same sport management graduate program at the time. Obviously, Sat was there with me. John Curry, who's the athletic director at Wake Forest. John was working in the athletic department, but was working on his master's. So I was taking classes with John. Eric Conkle, the head basketball coach at Louisiana Tech. Matt McMahon, the head basketball coach at Murray State. Kathy Becker, who's in charge of track operations up at Clemson. So there's a lot of people. I'm sure I'm forgetting some people, but had a good time and made a lot of great friends. I'm trying to do my part. Those are some successful coaches and athletic directors, so I'm trying to do my part to not bring them down, the people that were in grad school there at the same time, and big challenge to hold up my end of the bargain. But got some great friends still in Knoxville, great friends still in the athletic department. Great friends still in that football program. Was looking on Tennessee's website the other day, and it's remarkable how many people are still there from the equipment room. We've got some great friends there to some of the administrative assistants in the football office and whatnot as well. So neat place. Looking forward to playing in Knoxville Saturday, and got a big challenge on our hands. Obviously a first-year staff like we are, but you see them continue to get better each and every week on all three phases. Offensively, we've got to do a great job of handling their tempo. They certainly try and run a lot of plays, and people think tempo, they're throwing the ball all over the place, and that's not the case. They want to run the football, and that was very evident against Missouri last weekend. No one is running the ball more in the SEC than what Tennessee is. They lead the conference in rushing attempts, and they run the quarterback, who's a load back there in Hooker. They run the running backs. They got talented backs, and they're a challenge offensively because of how well they run the football and their tempo, and they're getting better and better. Defensively, really, really playing hard. That's obvious. You know, they've got a system. They believe in what they do, and those guys, the young men on that defense, it's obvious they believe in it. And the way they play, they're talented up front and got some experienced guys in the secondary. And then special teams-wise, they're playing with great effort. That's the thing that jumps off on tape. They blocked a punt for a touchdown against Pittsburgh. Dynamic punt returner and kickoff returner. And number one, the receiver, he's somebody that we got to account for at all times when we are kicking the football. One person very rarely brings him down. He is a load back there, so we got to do a great job from that standpoint. And they got some great players, you know. I don't know what the issues were at Tennessee in the past necessarily with the previous staff, but recruiting wasn't one of them. I know they've had some attrition in the transfer portal, but they got a lot of really great players that are still there, and it'll be a big challenge for us to see if we can get better this week and go play better on the road than what we did last time we had an away game over in Athens. But our guys are excited to go compete and looking forward to being in Knoxville Saturday afternoon and back in SEC play.
There you go. Gamecock coach Shane Beamer, as his team gets set up to go and play at Tennessee. Vols are a 10-point favorite in that matchup. There's a lot of things that the Gamecocks need to be working on. What, 10 penalties, almost 100 yards against Troy? If that happens against Tennessee, they're going to come home with an L. You got to clean that up. Also, are they going to do some of the other notes I have for this game? You know, they kind of went to the air to beat Troy. Are they going to try to do that with Tennessee? Or are they going to get to a point where they utilize the best players on the team on the offensive side of the ball, which is Kevin Harris and the rest of that running back group? It just seems like the run game has just been stale for South Carolina. So we'll get into more on that game as we move along here. But I want to talk a minute here about Urban Meyer. Of course, there was an incident with Urban Meyer where he was caught at a bar, and he was basically taking pictures with women, and it looked like he didn't have his hands where he was supposed to have them. Just not a good look from this video that surfaced from over the weekend. Then he has this, I'm going to play you a little bit of the press conference where he comes out to apologize for his actions. I've retweeted this press conference, the little bit that I'm going to play here. The reason I did that at Rob Sounds Good is so you could see the expression on his face. He looks like a 2-year-old that you just took his cookie from. That's about how valid I think that this apology is. But I'll play it for you here, and you can see if we're on the same page. But here's Urban Meyer apologizing for the video that surfaced over the weekend and his reaction.
Yeah, I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction, just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it and, you know, just stupid. Should not have myself in that kind of position.
Urban, did you fly back with the team or did you stay in?
No, I stayed to see the grandkids, and we all went to dinner that night at the restaurant, and then there's a big group next to our restaurant, and they wanted me to come over and take pictures, and I did. And they were trying to pull me out on a dance floor, screwing around, and I should have left.
How did the team react? I mean, they're probably pretty reactionary. How did they take it, your apology?
Well, I've always been so defensive of them. You know, I remember when Trevor told me he was going to go to Vegas for his bachelor party. I mean, I was just, my gosh, man, be careful and surround yourself, and because I've seen this happen. I spoke to a bunch of leaders one-on-one, spoke to all the players. They're good. They were focused on Tennessee, and I apologized again for being a distraction. And the coach should not be a distraction.
How about your family? Did you feel a need to apologize to your family?
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah, that's not me, and that's... they were upset.
Have you talked to Shad Khan about it, and what was that conversation like?
I did talk to Shad, and very supportive, and Trent, I talked to him obviously at length, right when I got that phone call that night, the next night.
So there's Urban Meyer with his apology, and you can take it as if you think that the apology was worthwhile, and that's fine. The reality is, though, is that he has to answer to basically three people. His family, obviously, Mr. Khan, who runs the Jaguars, who's paying him $12 million a year, by the way. $12 million a year. And he has to answer to his team. I, I look at this, and he admitted, hey, I didn't fly back with the team. Really? How does that happen? How does that happen? I just don't get it. So there's also a report that's come out that maybe he's kind of lost the locker room. One Jaguars player tells Michael Silver, the Urban Meyer situation in Jacksonville has reached a crisis point. One leader, especially in the locker room, one player told me he has zero credibility in that stadium. He had very little to begin with. Players were particularly put off by the fact that Meyer canceled Monday's team meeting as he dealt with the uproar of the videos of him and a young woman getting cozy in the Ohio bar. Quote, he even canceled the team meeting. He was too scared, is what a player said. Instead, Meyer only apologized to position groups individually. He portrayed the women in the videos as a random person who was just there dancing. Suffice to say, his audience was highly skeptical. And the bottom line, said the player, is it's bad. I don't know how he's going to function. They also said that when he addressed the one group, he came in and said what he had to say to them, and then he walks out and they all laughed at him like he was completely out of his mind. So he's got a group of pro players that are basically laughing at him. And then in that in his press conference there, that was another interesting set. Hey, I told Trevor Lawrence when he went to Vegas for his bachelor party to surround yourself with good people. Why the hell are you bringing that up here? What, I mean, Trevor Lawrence was married like, what, last summer? And you're going to bring that up in this press conference? Megan Megan Online normally doesn't bring anything decent to the show, but he did bring something a minute ago, and it said Urban Meyer's going to have a tingling down his right arm, which is the way that he got out of the Florida job, because he did great things on the field, but let's remember, there were some scoundrels on that Florida team. Aaron Hernandez, we can go there. We can go with some of the other guys that had, there were drug issues that guys weren't even suspended for it. Yeah, all of that's happened. And Urban Meyer continues to get job after job. I don't get it. I'm in the wrong line of work. He gets $12 million a year to coach the Jaguars, and they don't look any better than when he wasn't there. It's a mess down in Jacksonville. And I bring this up today because the apology completely got me. I don't understand how you can go in front of people and appear the way that he appeared. He should have just released a statement and then went from there. But Urban Meyer shooting himself in the foot once again. Now, we have, if he's not on the, I don't know what his, he may have a morality clause in his contract. That's the way it is with a lot of the college coaches. Maybe that's the way that Mr. Khan can get out of it. But right now, the Jaguars are a dumpster fire. Their own players are saying, yeah, we don't respect this guy. If you don't respect the guy, then you're just wasting your time. They could, if you look at their schedule, they could start the season 0-7, 0-8. Seriously. And if he's lost that locker room, it could go a long, long way. I mean, I'm not talking a winless season. That's kind of hard to do in the NFL with the parity that's there. But it's not like they're making any grand strides this season. All right, if you want to sound off on Urban Meyer, do you think that you think I'm being a little too harsh? I'm fine with that. Or should they show him the door? 803-978-1832. I've got other coaches that should be on the hot seat. Tanila online, I hope I pronounced your name correctly, she said, this is absolutely ridiculous. False and disingenuous disgust at this is just as bad. It's all fake. Okay. Thank you for responding. Let's see here. Randall says, it's been four games, Rob. How can you turn around that burning dumpster in months? I get you with that, but the reality is that the players are saying they don't respect him now. That's what I'm saying. It's not like he's come in there and he's built something where it's like, all right, we're going to rally around what I'm doing. There was talk about before where he was upset they were losing preseason games, which preseason games in the NFL don't matter. Seriously. As far as the wins and losses go, yeah, I mean, if you can win, great, but you're not losing your mind on the team because they lose them. So there's that. We also have coaches on the hot seat in college, and we'll get to that when we come back from our break here in just a moment. We're also going to do first look at the CFP Top 10. We're like what? We're like 4 weeks away. November the 2nd is the opening of the CFP rankings. I'll tell you what I've got for my stuff here shortly. Some of the folks that are online have responded about Coach Orgeron down at LSU. Yeah, I think he is fired. There was talk that LSU could probably go and get whoever they want, and some of the names that have been put out there include Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss and Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. Are they really going to go within in their division and get a coach? If I'm Lane Kiffin, I'm not going anywhere. I'm definitely not going to Southern Cal, where they fired me on the tarmac. And Jimbo Fisher, if he goes, that's just showing they're getting tired of his nonsense at Texas A&M. So, I don't know, man. It's a mess with this whole coaching stuff, but Urban Meyer's already lost the Jacksonville team. He really has. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. That is the number to dial. If you'd like to join us here on the Rundown this afternoon, we come back, we'll give you our list of coaches on the hot seat in college football. By the way, podcasters up for the show, and appreciate everybody downloading the podcast, by the way. Had a really, really great month of folks checking that out. That's also on like Saturday, or actually Sunday, when I'm out working in my yard. And my phone's just bing, 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 and it's people basically responding to dumb things I said throughout the week. Hey, I caught it on the podcast, and then this happened yesterday. Man, you're stupid. How many of those would I get? Megan Online says, I wouldn't touch Jimbo with a 10-foot pole. For what? To win 9 games a year and drain the budget? Yeah, they have tons of money at Texas A&M, and they don't care about blowing it. Mr. Khan's got tons of money. He's blowing it with Urban Meyer. What a mess. All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll have our coaches' hot seats for you, and we'll also have our first look at what I think is going to be the CFP Top 10. All of that for you here in just a moment on the Rundown. You can watch that Urban Meyer video up on my Twitter page. It's at Rob Sounds Good. More of the Rundown. We come back. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Hot seat talk today. There are some coaches that are probably going to be looking for another jobs next season, and one of them should be Urban Meyer for the way that he handled his business up there in Ohio. Oh man, what a mess. That's pretty much the only term that I can use there. These are coaches that aren't getting it done on the field, though. Butch Davis at FIU. He is halfway through his fifth season with the team, and he's lost 11 of his last 12 games, 1-4 this season. He's probably going to be on the way out. Just saying. Ed Orgeron at LSU. I read some stat that I think they're like 8-7. Since they won the national championship. And I know LSU fans, they love to talk to you about 2019. And they had a great team there. But the way that the seasons has rolled out, especially this year, people gave him a pass for the 5-5 season last year. Now he comes out this season, loses to UCLA. They're making money off of him calling a fan sissy blue shirt. They're printing T-shirts and making money at UCLA because of that. He's become like, you know, people call him Gene Chizik reinvented. I mean, it's the wheels are kind of falling off at LSU right now. And I think that he is probably the only coach in the SEC that is really in danger of losing his job. And you got to look at LSU and think of it from this perspective. I think it's safe to say that with the funding that LSU has and the way that they're able to recruit there, that LSU is a top 10 coaching job. I mean, it's one of the top coaching jobs in the country. And LSU, they will put out the money to get pretty much whoever they want. Now, the question is, which way are they going to go? So, with Orgeron, though, if he wants to stay there, I think he's got to win out. I really do. Maybe lose to Alabama and that's it. But the two losses that he's got are like make you scratch your head a little bit. I mean, Brian Harsin went in there and into Baton Rouge last week. First win by Auburn since, what, 1989, something like that? I mean, it's been a long time. And folks don't like that down there. That's just the way that it is. Dino Babers at Syracuse. You know, Syracuse is a tough job. They lost to Florida State. He's 6-17 in his last 23 games, 3-15 in his last 18 ACC games. You know, it's not roses up there at Syracuse. It's really not. It's a tough place for him to. It's a tough place to recruit. I'd love to see what he can do if he could. If he had the capability to have some players, but we'll see how that works out for him. Nick Rolovich at Washington State, you know, they've had some issues up there. He put the administration through a ringer because he refused to get the COVID-19 vaccine. I don't want to talk about COVID-19 vaccines today, but it just didn't look good. The optics just looked really terrible. So he's probably going to be on his way out. Herm Edwards at Arizona State. You know, they are winning. They're 4-1. They are a favorite in the Pac-12 South. So the NCAA is going to come down on them, though, because of the way that they were doing practices during COVID-19. I think that may end up getting him fired. Scott Frost at Nebraska. You know, there's talk that people are looking at him, especially after the way they started this season, and they ask him how he could fix it, and he said, "I don't know." With that, you should be fired on the spot. Manny Diaz with the Miami Hurricanes. I think the big thing with him is they could be 1-3 with their only win coming against Central Connecticut. I mean, that's Appalachian State should have beat them. And they're just not a very good football team right now. Now, he moved all of his chips in the into the corner of, hey, I'm going to hit the transfer portal, and it's worked with certain guys, but not completely. So there's that. I think that he is definitely probably on the way out. Mike Norvell at Florida State, you know, he signed a 6-year, $26.5 million deal in December of 2019 when he replaced Willie Taggart. By the way, Florida State was still paying Willie Taggart. But, they've been really bad. Really, really bad. And then one other note, Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech. Last season, their worst season in 28 years, they were 5-6. They opened the season beating North Carolina, and they do have a 3-1 start, but I just think that they need a different set up there at Virginia Tech. And one other guy that I think should be on the list is Jim Harbaugh. Even though they're 5-0, you really buy him what Harbaugh's selling. If he wants to keep his job, he needs to win over Ohio State. And you know what? This may be the year to get him. This may be the year. The Ohio State defense has some, looks like it has some holes in it. And this weekend, what, Michigan's playing at Nebraska? Don't stub your toe there, sir. If they can finish out the season and, you know, finish strong, not necessarily go undefeated, but winning over Ohio State might buy him some more time. Brandon says if Virginia Tech wins the ACC, that might save Fuente's job. That's a good point. Harbaugh just signed a massive extension. Yeah, I get that, but the reality, talked about how he's grown and he's matured and everything else. And yeah, let's take a back step and let's go back to Southern Cal after what happened there. I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, we'll take your calls on that at 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. That is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown this afternoon. Here on Fox Sports Radio 1400, of course, around the world on the iHeartRadio app, you can listen right in the palm of your hand. Make sure you download the app, and you can listen to all of our live shows, including Teddy Hefner in the morning. He's on from 9 to noon, and then Lawton Swan, he cleans up my mess from 4 to 6. There you go with that. Randall says, money talks the loudest in the room. Yeah, you're right. I don't think LSU cares, to be honest. And they may get out of his contract, the Orgeron contract, simply on the Title IX investigation that's going on down there at LSU. They may be able to get off scot-free. And boom, they're out. So we'll see how that goes. All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll have our first look at the top, my projected top 10 for the CFP if we were going to pick it today. We'll have that for you in a moment here on The Rundown. By the way, follow the show. I'm on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good and the podcast, as I said earlier. Generally up every day by about 5 o'clock. All right, my first look at the CFP top 10 when we come back. This is The Rundown. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us today. All right, so this is my top 10 for the CFP if it were up today. Now, generally, I don't like to look at rankings, but this just kind of gives you my assessment of where I think certain teams are, okay? Now, at number 10, you can make an argument for a lot of different teams there. You can make an argument for Kentucky to be there. I mean, they're, what, 5-0? Best start in school history? But the reality is I don't want to put Kentucky in my top 10 because I don't think they're going to finish there. I think Kentucky's going to drop 2, maybe 3 games this year. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me the more and more I watch to think that LSU might get them this weekend. LSU is a 1-point underdog going into Kentucky. Think about that for a second. LSU's got problems all over the place. Their coach is coaching for his job. Their quarterback's pretty good. They're averaging, what, 70 yards on the ground? So this isn't your typical LSU team. They just lost to Auburn, which is like, you know, they have a Mountain West coach down there that they drug down there, and he's trying to implement what he did at Boise State down there. And maybe it's going to work, maybe it's not. But they've got issues all over the place. They went into Baton Rouge and won. So I think this weekend, LSU might get them. I don't want to put Kentucky in my inaugural top 10 simply because I don't think they're going to finish there. So that's why Kentucky's not there for all the folks, the newly enshrined folks that are Kentucky football fans that go to Kentucky football games with basketball shirts on. I was watching some of that game the other night, and I could count tons of guys wearing basketball jerseys, which is insane. Out to the phones we go, 803-978-1832. Let's get this call in. Welcome into The Rundown. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm so used to eating crow this week.
Yeah?
Kentucky will get beat by LSU. You made a good call on that one.
I think that's a fair one, yeah.
I think that's a fair call.
Hey, you know what? I like Florida's chances against Vanderbilt. They may beat the snot out of them, too. Vanderbilt's terrible.
You know, that's a game I don't even want to watch. Matter of fact, I won't watch that game.
Well, you shouldn't have watched last week's game with Kentucky because that was a gong show.
Yeah, it was. It was. It wasn't the best showing.
It was not.
I'm just looking forward to playing the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, that's your Super Bowl now. So, I mean, you got two losses. I mean, that's pretty much your entire season.
That'll set Big and Megan up. I guarantee that'll set him up.
I think that Georgia could lose by 7 touchdowns, and it's not going to shut Beg and Megan up. The only thing that's going to shut Beg and Megan up is cardiac arrest. That guy will not shut the hell up for nothing. So.
No, only thing is, every time you mention 1980, he's got something he don't want to talk about that. 1980.
Linda
Scott.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate you calling the show, buddy. Thank you so much.
No doubt.
All right, there you go. Hey, at least Hollywood's showing up. We'll give him that. We'll give him that. All right, anyway, so number 10 for me is Oklahoma State, even though I think they are overrated, but they are 5-0. We will put them right into the mix. Number 9, I'm going to go with Ohio State. They have had some early season struggles. Struggle to win over Minnesota. I say struggle. It was closer than it looked, obviously, I thought. Getting the win over Rutgers, I thought, was a pretty good win. And I think they're going to finish in the top 10, so I like them there. I like them. Number 9 and number 8 are pretty much even with me, with Oregon, too, even though they lost on the road at Stanford. Give me Oregon at number 8. At 7, I've got Oklahoma. Yeah, I know they're 5-0, and they've got quality wins. They beat Kansas State, West Virginia, and Nebraska, but it just seems like they're just not a dominant team. Let's go out to the phones one more time. Welcome into the Rundown. Good afternoon.
You know, just because you've been on the first 48 a few times, it doesn't give you the right to call yourself Hollywood.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. I've never been on the first 48. I was like, maybe I missed something.
No, my man from Duval County down there. But anyway, I don't want to waste my time talking about nobody. What are your thoughts on the Auburn Georgia game this week?
Are we barbing back and forth, or do you want my real thoughts?
I never barb, Rob.
Please.
Real thoughts only, please.
My real thoughts on it is that Georgia's a 14.5-point favorite. Georgia has a really good defense. I've said that. I think they got the best defense in college football. I do think this will be the first quarterback that has the capability to make plays with his feet that can actually move around a little bit that they'll face in Bo Nix. With that, though, I still think the Georgia defense is just too good. I do think they're going to have to throw the ball more than 11 times if they're planning on winning this weekend. That's just the way that I see it. But I still think Georgia's the better team.
Yeah, I don't know why Arkansas played Georgia the way they did on defense, but Auburn's not going to do that. They're going to force Stetson to beat them, which I would think that every defense from here on out would do.
But you can line just 8 in the box up against Georgia, and you have the talent that, I mean, there were plays the other day where they were just knocking the Arkansas guys right off the ball. And, you know, you're getting 3 and 4 yards with your running back. And, you know, I give grief to Kirby Smart, but he is smart enough to know, hey, if I get 3 to 4 yards a carry, we can grind out a game down here on the plains and get a win. So, I mean, you have that to lean on too, but you're going to have to throw the ball more than 11 times. And nobody knows the health of JT Daniels. That's why it makes it really hard. If JT Daniels were healthy, I think Georgia wins by 17 to 20 points.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm just assuming that JT Daniels is not going to start. I've come to the conclusion that we're just going to ride Stetson Bennett out the rest of the year. One way or another, something will happen to keep him in there. It's like a nightmare.
Is it fair to start calling him soft as far as Stetson Bennett goes? And I know that we goof back and forth a little bit here, but it seems like he spends more time in the training room than he does on the field.
He does, and even that knee injury, it took him longer than anyone I've ever seen to recover from. It took him way longer than it's supposed to. So that history goes back a while there, but I've got a bad feeling about this game in Auburn. I really do, and they're overdue to get us one time, and it is at Jordan-Hare where crazy things happen. I'm just a little bit concerned about this
one. Respectfully, I looked it up earlier. You've won 8 out of the last 10 against them. So, yeah. I mean, now some of those games at Jordan-Hare have been close, but you've dominated the series here lately. In the past decade, 8 out of 10 wins, that's pretty good.
It is, but you could argue they're due. So,
under that logic, Vanderbilt's due. Kentucky's due.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. You know, the whole due thing doesn't really work with me, so.
Yeah, Kentucky was due, and they did it. just did it. So
they did. That's a good point. I was like, how does it feel to be Dan Mullen, though? I mean, you're the only coach in 40 years to lose to Kentucky. He has to carry that banner with him wherever he goes. That's sad.
He earned he earned the name Average Dan at Mississippi State, and it is a very accurate name.
I wonder if him and Urban Meyer hang out together. That probably happens down there. Wouldn't surprise me.
Anything goes down here, Rob. Hey, 43-18.
Have a great day, sir. Appreciate it. All right, so number seven, I've got Oklahoma. Also at number six, 5-0 Michigan. Yes, they could go and stub their toes at Nebraska. But we'll see how that works out this week. And they may move up in the Rob poll here. We'll find out. I'll give you my top five when we come back. Final break of the show here on The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown. Out to the phones we go. Good afternoon. Welcome into the show.
Hey, Rob. How's it going, man?
What's up, brother?
Hey, listen. Yeah, I'm a Georgia fan, too. I want to talk about Georgia-Auburn real quick.
Yeah.
Georgia's going to beat Auburn. I mean, I know that, you know, they blasted us down there a couple years ago, but they had an elite defensive line. They had a good momentum going into that game. They just, you know, Auburn was really tough to beat in their place in 2017. I just don't think they match up with Georgia in the trenches this time around. I mean, I don't know if Georgia's going to beat them by, like, 28 points or something. But I think Georgia's going to win by about 10. So.
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree with you. And I said, once again, I think Georgia is the better team. Folks online get angry and think that I just have this anti-Georgia thing. I don't. Georgia's got a hell of a team. Oh. I just think that, from my perspective, I think they're still – There's always a loss there that comes about that Kirby Smart has to get over. And, you know, you think of South Carolina a couple of years ago. This game coming up smells like that. They're a better team than Auburn, but could they go down there and lose? They could if they turn the ball over. If they had JT Daniels playing and he was not injured, that is a – I think they go down there and win by 17 to 20 points. But I don't know what they're going to get with Stetson Bennett. They threw the ball 11 times last week. You can't win in the SEC on the road throwing the ball 11 times. It's just not going to work.
Well, I agree with you on that, man. And one thing I'll say about this JT Daniels thing is, listen, there's hurt and there's injured, man. Like, he's got to play. Like, he needs to play a quarter or something, okay? Like, if we – because my feeling is this. We get out on top of Auburn 14-0, they're not winning this football game, okay?
Right.
But we're going to get the 14-0 faster with JT Daniels than with Stetson Bennett. I mean, we just are. So I know we blew out our Arkansas last weekend, but just JT needs to get in there. He needs to play, and then we're going to have a bye before Florida, and he can heal up some more. But, you know, this him not playing for 6 weeks thing, I mean, this is starting to become a problem.
Well, and that's the thing, too, and you mentioned that. If Georgia goes down and gets a win, which winning on the road in the SEC is tough, okay? If Georgia goes down and gets a win, then and he doesn't play, you got to think there's going to be some rust on the tires there heading into that game in Jacksonville, where that is Florida's Super Bowl. Absolutely, yeah. Florida's Super Bowl. They get to trot some stuff out this week and, you know, see how things float a little bit against Vanderbilt. And then they get basically 2 weeks to prepare for Georgia in the game that means the most to them now because they're out of the hunt in the SEC.
Let me say this because I heard that Florida bozo on your show a few minutes ago.
Bozo.
Listen, Georgia's going to absolutely beat the brakes off Florida. They're not going to trot Emily Jones out there and think they're going to beat Georgia. If you don't have a Kyle Trask type of offense out there, Georgia's going to absolutely shut you down. This guy is living in a fantasy land. He could talk about 1980 all he wants. We're going to shrug our shoulders at his trophy case and beat him by 30 if he keeps talking about that kind of stuff. So,
well,
you know, I'm not worried about Florida. They're
you can't
done.
Pack that
They're
trophy
done.
Case and take it to Jacksonville with you. But, I mean, and Georgia's the better team. It's just a question of Kirby Smart has to exercise that demon of having one game where things are just a little off. And once he does that.
Well, the one game is what happens. This is what I'll say to that. The one game is what happens when you play a big boy schedule. And, you know, that's just how it is. So, anyway, I'll let you go.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling the program. That's a demon that Kirby Smart has to get rid of. And I Georgia fans can get upset with me for that. But I'm not disputing the fact that the guy puts a good team on the field. Not disputing that at all. It just seems like there's a hiccup in a season that they have no business losing a game. They were better than Florida was last year. Absolutely were better than they were. And it just seems like it falls apart. was it 2019 when South Carolina went down there? They were probably three touchdowns better than that South Carolina team. They lost to a South Carolina team coached by Will Muschamp in their building. That just doesn't work. All right, let me give you my top five here. I've got Cincinnati at number five. Now, why do I have Cincinnati at number five? Because Cincinnati, I think, has gotten through the rest of the tough part of their schedule. With that win over Notre Dame, they're going to coast through the rest of their schedule. And the CFP committee is not going to move them into the top four until one of the top four lose. And they're going to be an undefeated team at the end of the year. And they're going to have the mindset of, okay, well, they can move up. Number four is Penn State. They got a great matchup this weekend, and we'll talk more about that game later on. But I've got Penn State at number four. Number three is Iowa. Iowa, of course, they've kind of rolled through their stuff. They beat Maryland senseless. They picked off Tua Tagovailoa six times? Oof. They're looking more and more like a monster every week. Number two is Alabama. And the reason that I have Alabama at number two is because I don't think the Alabama defense is really that good. Yep, I said that. They may get better as the season goes on, but I think that their defense is not very Nick Saban-like. I think that bothers Nick Saban a lot. He has to have a team that goes out there and scores 28 points every week. He's going to need that. Not that they'll give up 28, but Florida was pushing them around. They really were. And Florida should shoot themselves in the foot because that's what they did. They should have won that game against Alabama. And number one goes to the Georgia Bulldogs. And Georgia, of course, you can say, hey, there's a 1A and 1B with Alabama and Georgia, and that's fine. But Georgia has, of course, the win over Clemson, which I know a lot of folks are thinking, all right, man, Clemson has slid. Clemson's going to get right. That win over Clemson's going to be a shining spot there on that Georgia schedule at the end of the season. I really think that Clemson is going to get right. So we'll see how that goes. But I got Georgia at number one. The defense is just too good. It's just too good. So the Bulldogs are only the third team since 2000 to surrender one or fewer offensive touchdowns through five games. They are that good. So there you go with that. So there's my top 10. We'll hold on to this. We'll put this on the bookcase of accountability and see how it ends up when we get to the first set of rankings that come out November the 2nd. Tomorrow on the program, working on getting someone from Tennessee to come on and talk about Tennessee and South Carolina. You know, when I look at South Carolina's schedule, they win this game against Tennessee. I kind of like the thought that the Gamecocks might go bowling. And going to a bowl game in Shane Beamer's first season with the team that he was left, that's impressive. That would be impressive. Now, if they lose this weekend, it's a tough way up, okay? But they could go to a bowl game. That could realistically happen. Anyway, we'll have a look at that tomorrow here on The Rundown. Of course, podcast for the show is up at 5 o'clock today. You can check that out then. And we'll have other stuff that we're going to be doing throughout the week. I'm trying to get LaVon Kirkland to join us, the former Clemson great who's in the Ring of Honor. Have him come in and talk some football with us. We'll work on that. And getting Corey Jenkins, the former South Carolina quarterback, in with us as well. Georgia fans, I'm sure that listen, remember him. He's the guy that was trying to throw the ball and the end zone play down at Williams-Brice Stadium. So we'll maybe get him on here shortly. All right. Podcast me up at 5 o'clock. I'm on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good. We will see you tomorrow.